And good evening and welcome to another African Rhythms. My name is David Love Jones, and tonight we are going to make Vancouver soul history, because right here, once again, we have Jason Hoover, the legend himself, and Michael Ingram. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good evening, Vancouver. Hey, what a look,
David, it's good to be back here.
Yeah. What a day we have had today. I don't even know where to start.
It's just been a great day. I met a lot of great people in the industry even. You know, That's wonderful. You know, like, how often do I get a chance to be, you know, messing with the people that are in the industry that we're in, you know? And it's just wonderful.
I don't think that I'll ever forget today for a long time in my life. Like, today was... Today was special, right, Jason?
It was totally special.
Yeah. Mike?
Listen, it was a ball. And We got more to come. It's just been fantastic seeing somebody's dream come true.
Yeah. Mike, I don't know if that's pretty tough for you to get up at 5 in the morning and go till now. That's asking a lot of you, brother.
Hey, you know, you do what you got to do.
But why strictly for Philly, right?
Yeah.
Do what you got to do.
There's a track, Mike, that we opened up with, Baby, I Love You, Jerry Ragavoy, I believe is his name. And That is the B-side of King Size, Jason's debut single. How did Jerry Ragavoy write
that
song for Jason?
It sounded like he was listening to Jason sing and Knock on Wood, because he took the bass line strictly from that, you know? But Ragavoy is a footnote, because he arranged one of the greatest songs of all time, Lorraine Ellison's Stay With Me. It is an anthem. If you ever heard it, It is like begging to the highest degree.
Mike, you have mined yet another piece of history, and you're so great at that, you know, of digging out the facts. And B-side of Jason's single, you know what's uncanny is how often Jason's B-sides are so good.
Quite often, I think they were planned that way. I think that Jack Hershon knew what he was doing when he released this sucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Jack Hershon that named The Trials of Jason Hoover?
Exactly.
Yeah. So he had a lot of belief in you.
You know, I'm so happy he was in my life, because I have to say right now, and be honest, without him, I don't think I'd be here today. I mean, a successful entertainer, Canadian entertainer.
Do you realize how happy he is that this is happening to you?
I can't relate, but I sure can't wait to see him. And I know that I just can look at Jack, and we can communicate. We don't say nothing. We just look at each other. You know, we're both Libras, and, you know, we, brother Libras checking each other. We know, you know, just smiles and winks and eyebrow raising. You know, Jack and I are tight.
Jack's a really sweet guy, I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
But this, the way this has all come together, like his history, he was so enthusiastic to come up here from California.
Oh, yeah. He knows he's going to have a ball. And he's going to be around Jason once again. We're tight, man. You'll see. You'll see when we're together.
So he was, not only did he show up around the time of the late epics, but he was, he named The Trials of Jason Hoover.
Exactly.
And he was around for at least 2 or 3 years of The Trials.
He was in and out. the last time I saw him, you know, he was like doing this and doing that. Jack always does a handful. And then he said, I was talking to the Guess Who's management, Don Hunter, and he wants to sign you. So he asked me for permission to talk to you about it. I said, Jack, you're leaving me? What are you doing? He says, I got a couple other projects. He says, you know, I would never leave you in bad hands. Don Hunter and the Guess Who, they want you to open for the Guess Who for the next couple of years.
So this was your first manager, Jack Hirschhorn, but really your first manager led to your producer, Mike Flicker, because he made the connection, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But that was after that I had already gone to Don Hunter and the Guess Who, and I was still doing, you know, King Size and Baby, I Love You, and, you know, the other tunes that I had, and Freedom Train and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you basically, there was several opportunities that could have broken bigger, several things that have came about.
That seems like that. That's the way careers go, though, really.
Yeah. Like, for instance, the Unknown Trials album that never came out.
Ah, but that we've got all the tracks. It still can come out someday.
The Crux was the name of it, according to an article.
We'll find that out from Jack, too, because he had that. He had the control of that.
I would say that the next track, Words, which was with written by your keyboard player, Kenny Wayne. Mm-hmm. That would have certainly been on the album, right?
Absolutely. And because it grabbed a lot of attention, you know, and a lot of airplay. Yes, for sure.
Words Teen Beat magazine out of Toronto had an article just about the Word song coming out.
That's fantastic. You know, I've never kept tabs on those kind of, you know, things. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. I would do, and I was always into the future. I was never one of those guys that like me.
You read that article, Mark?
I didn't get to read the article and memorize it, but I remember teen magazines like that were the lifeblood of the industry early on. You had Tiger Beat and other magazines like that in the States. Some magazines would even give you the lyrics to some of the popular songs that were out back in the day and whatnot. So this should have been a continuation of what Canada's promotion full scale should have been.
But it wasn't,
so
unfortunately.
All the Canadian artists who were up and coming, or if there was a song that was Canadian that was a hit, that would have been pushed, just like Words would have been pushed.
It's a pretty meaningful song, so why don't we listen to that one next?
All right, David.
Within. They say you'll find your life's true aim by hearing what your palms may say. You'll see the answer to your joy lies very close at hand. So place yours very close to mine. We'll find our place in all the time. Till then we'll love together till the end of time is near. Thank you.
And that's a track called Words by Jason Hoover, The Trials of Jason Hoover. And in fact, in that particular time, you were called the Anvil Chorus for those few months when that track came out. So that would have been 71.
And again, it comes to back to Jack Hirsch and say, what are you doing through this Anvil Chorus? You're starting all over again out of the work that I'd done, he said. I says, I understand, Jack. I'm very sorry. But, you know, Ralph Harding thought it would be a lot better for us. Ralph Harding was very intelligent. He knew that he could grab these cuts, run over to Europe, sell them to Belgian people, sell them to the Germans.
Rhythm is the way.
For cash.
Rhythm is the Way became the A-side in Europe. It was the B-side of the next track we're going to hear, We Were Happy. But it was only the B-side here.
It was the B-side then.
Yes.
But it became the A-side. And on the other side of the A-side now, it was something. Was
Get
another,
It Together.
Yeah, Get yeah. Together.
Well, that crime is the way. Well, but let me ask you. I want to backtrack with what David said. How much was a record in Canada? Like a 45.
45 was a dollar, 99 cents.
Okay, so it was 99 cents. Mm-hmm. So to the, what he was mentioning about the magazines is the fact that back in the States, you got records anywhere from 69 cents, sometimes three for $2. And they had formats where you'd have a punch card. If you got 10,
hey,
you get one free.
No.
And all of that, and the magazines were part of making sure that the buyers were looked at as customers. So that goes to what you were saying about the magazine and whatnot, because if a kid's listening to a new song and it's like, oh, yeah, I like the song, and they really don't know the words, and, you know, back then you always got words all muffed up, you know, the words were there for you to see.
Lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, basically, around that time, that was, if that had become an album with Words and the other strong songs and become
happy.
The Crux album. And
Get Together.
If Rhythm is the Way had been imported all over Europe to bring a new promotion, then you would have had the European tour, you would have had the album. Mm-hmm. So it really is an indication of a bit of the injustice.
Yep. If you had the chance to go, who else would you have taken in your traveling band? Because we already know.
Well, I know that I would love to have had Kenny Wayne, but his wife wouldn't let him leave the country, let alone the BC anymore, Vancouver even. I had lost him and had to get another keyboard player, and his name was Keith Kemp. Mm. He was very, very talented. I loved the way he played. His fingers were like magic. Matter of fact, it hypnotized me when I'd watch him play. He hung with us until he fell out of the bus taking urinating. That's the guy that hit his...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, and his wife said, no more. But, so, and I was stuck with Steve Cartmell. After that, I had to go with him. I taught him, I worked really hard with Steve so he would get it together. And he was with Kentish Steel and Chantels. And I took him from Kentish Steel as well as the drummer, Randy Busby. Mm-hmm. I had these two, and plus the original Trials, the kid, Harmat, and myself.
So a lot of thought went into the Trials.
We made a supergroup, huh?
A lot of thought went into the Trials.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of thought to make it good.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe Steve, it didn't
quite... I have
to
give credit to Jack Hirshhorn.
Yeah.
He wouldn't let us, he was relentless. He wouldn't let us quit at it. And he wouldn't let, you know, he saw so much. I mean, he'd take tapes of ours down to California and people would freak out. Who is this? What is that? Where is he going? He'd take it to record companies. Warner Brothers said, we'll take that right now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cap. Oh yeah. We'll definitely have this out for you, Jack. What are you going to do?
Well, it's going to be really great for you to meet Jack Hirshhorn tomorrow. We have him flying him up from California, and he's really excited to see you. So I'm really excited about that. But do you know, a real favorite of Jack's that he helped pioneer the song for you, or he was part of the vision of that being released, but We Were Happy. Tell me about that.
Oh, he phoned me up and he said, listen, I want you to come down to the studio. I've got a tearjerker for you. I said, what are you talking about, Jack? I said, I've got a song that's going to sell really good for you. It's going to be really good. And I said, well, Jack, we've been pumping now. This is our fourth tune together. Yeah, but this is going to go. This is really, that's how Jack works. And that's how he talks. That's how he thinks. This is going to be really big, really big. So sure enough, I heard it. And I said, wow.
It's got really cool strings and it's very original.
Oh, that's Jack. He got that happening. He put all that stuff together, okay? I know nothing about the string players. I know it was done in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And all I knew is that we lived in a shack by the edge of the river.
I love that line.
I didn't have much, So there wasn't much to give her.
All right.
Although we were poor, we were rich in a way. For our love was love, and it filled every day with a soft, warm glow.
We were happy.
We lived in a shack by the edge of the river. I didn't earn much, so there wasn't much to give her. Oh, we were poor, we were rich in a way. For our love was love, and it filled every day with a soft warm glow. We were happy. One night she awoke, burning up with a fever. I knew she needed help, but I didn't want to leave her. I ran through the night till I thought I would drop. I got to the road, but not one car would stop. And I knew she was dying. I knelt by her side and I prayed until and then as the first sight of dawn gently touched her sweet face, I could tell she was gone. We lived in a shack by the edge of the river. So there wasn't much to give her. But though we were poor, we were rich in a way. For our love was love, and it filled every day with the soft glow. We were happy.
And that is We Were Happy. And I tip my hat to Jack Hirshhorn. You know, he had vision and he had style in that song. Those strings were dope. I love it.
Those strings or something else. Well, LA, they were LA strings, of course.
Yeah.
I didn't hear them until they were finished.
That was your first collaboration with LA. That was sort of...
broke the ice, yeah, for sure. But I mean, I had Freedom Train and stuff before the song. So.
But what about Pride Productions, that billboard in Los Angeles where you were part of?
I want you to mention that to Jack. Leave that in his lap. He'll tell you the whole story about it.
Yeah, Pride Productions is a really cool thing because there you were hooked up with the Silvers and
Silvers,
the Incredible Bongo Band. We're all under the
Incredible
same management.
Incredible Bongo Band was up here.
I got the vibe that L.A. wanted to push Jason so they could develop an L.A. sound.
That's right.
Because those same acts at that time were fairly popular. But to have them all regionalized so that these same sounds would be coming out, it would be similar to what Solar Records would come up with later on with Don Cornelius and those acts.
I wish I was on Don Cornelius' show. I dreamed of being on American Bandstand.
No, he's Soul Train.
Soul Train and American Bandstand was with Dick Clark, but I'm saying, I meant Soul Train.
You were in your own way, though. You know, you being on Let's Go was the equivalent of American Bandstand Soul Train. You know, it's the best we had in Canada, and you were on it nationally multiple
times.
Other week. There's still even a TV show we haven't seen. That very last year that Jason was still together with the Epics, they put Jason together with Papa Bear's Medicine Band, The Painted Ship, and Jason doing Tell Mama. And you know what? I have it on videotape at home, but I haven't even watched it yet. I've just been so busy.
I got to see it, too. It's been many years I did that tune.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
I need to say this. A lot of singers, when they front a band, they usually are singing in one key, and that's their comfort zone.
So you notice that I've done
all kinds of... On Jason's
album,
he's singing in at least five different keys when he sets off.
Wow.
Vocally, Few artists do that sort of thing. I mean, they're incapable of doing it, usually because of the genre. And that goes to his creativity, because he took all of that material and came out with his own unique sound. I mean, you know, there's only five spaces and five lines on the music, so anything that sounds different from anybody else is truly unique, regardless of what genre it is. And
well, you speak on the Mushroom album, and I know you've done an analysis of a lot of the songs, and we've discussed things like on Show Me Some Slack, how it's jazz chords. So the sophistication of what was going on with Jason, maybe it was just a bit too much for us local people to fully appreciate when it came out.
Well, yeah, that's just it. When something is different like that,
it was
and it drops,
time guys,
or if something's traditional, and then it drops after a whole span in between of nothing like Sade did in 1985, people are ready for it because they want to hear something different. They weren't ready for that because the market wasn't allowing it.
Yeah. But, you know, when you look at Mike, like I was looking at today, how in 1974, and that would be 3 years after, say, the last thing we heard, We Were Happy, or say, Words. So 3 years later, Jason's completely in a new ballgame, completely new musicians, none of the old musicians. Mm-hmm. And here he is in 74. He gets added, and I kid you not, to probably about 80 radio stations across Canada. I counted five in Montreal alone. Five in the Toronto area. Just an unbelievable amount of stations that Love Will Get You and the B-side we're about to hear, Sing Me Some Soul. And you look at that, and then you look at She's My Lady, both added all across Canada. It was just one step away from being added all across America, and that would have been it. And within a year after your record, there was a deal with a major label that The Heart got distributed.
Well,
you came very close, probably the closest you ever came to getting a nationally distributed U.S. album. That's about the closest you came.
That's the closest I got until actually the Mushroom album came out.
And here, ladies and gentlemen, is just the B-side of that first 1974 single, Sing Me Some Soul, which has this crazy Jason Hoover freestyle rap at the beginning. And he's not even credited in the songwriter. Like, tell me who else wrote this. Come on. Like, I'm not a fool. Tell me, Jason. Who wrote it?
It was a fellow who came in. It was Joe somebody. I don't even remember his last name.
But you did the rap. But you got
and
no credit.
No, it was no rap. It was just trying to
You were kind of freestyling a story.
I did. Yeah. I grabbed the story and I freestyled it. Yeah. All that is
But
me.
You got no credit.
Why? But we were worried about credit. We wanted airplay, man.
All right. Well, let's hear this killer freestyle you got no credit for.
Man, I was raised in the Lower East Side of this city, and I learned many things. You could say I got my schooling here, understand? You see, I used to work at my daddy's bar, dig? And here is where I learned the most important thing. So, you know what I mean? So, Jack, daddy's bar wasn't much, but it was very, very funky. Now let me tell you about it. I can remember it just like yesterday. When Georgia Sam, the local man, pulled up in his long, long pink Cadillac. And sometimes he would bring in a couple of girls he'd been working late that night. The soulful women, the women who knows how to love because they make their living at it. When these girls was feeling down, they go out to the back room and start clapping their hands and singing, carrying on. And I thought, now what kind of a song could make these women happy when they were feeling so blue? So one night I went out to the back room and I asked one of the girls. She just looked at me and said, son, it don't matter what you sing, as long as you sing with soul.
Sing, sing, sing,
oh, 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 oh.
while, this is a lesson I've never forgotten. And a feeling I carry with me all the time. Cause it's a cold, wicked world we live in. And you know how it feels when things ain't going for the best. And the blues done got you down. So when I feel myself in this situation, I think what these soulful women taught me. And that was...
From 1975, and actually originally the 1974 B-side of Jason's first Mushroom Records 7-inch single, Jason.
It was. I found that when it came out, I didn't have much faith in it, but like, wow, it just seemed like all the radio stations were either or. There were B or A, and that's what was going on across Canada. It was confusing.
A ton of stations, Jason. A ton.
I mean, it's hard. It wasn't hard. I was so proud. It's like flipping a coin. You still love that coin. It might end up A. I mean, B, tails or heads. That's all it was to me.
Shelley Siegel
was he's a genius. He was a musical genius. Not only did he further my career, but he made Heart.
Yeah.
And
he's the one promoting that, right? That Love Will Get You Across Canada?
Right,
he got it
out. Across Canada. As yeah. She's My Lady, too. He did both those.
But then... bad thing happened. Your promoter died.
I was supposed to join Island Records. Yeah. I mean, they were going to actually put those same songs out in Britain and stuff, but yeah. I would also have an album with Island Records.
I know. We were talking about it before. Yeah. But you know what? That single that we listened to before, getting back to just to a second for the trials, but we were happy. What a video that would have made. Can you imagine if that come out in the video age? I mean, it's just got such surrealistic with the strings.
She was dying.
It had an impact. Yeah. It had an impact.
MTV would have had a ball
with that. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
It's not that different than the Beatles or the Stones. Lady Jane.
That's true.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that was...
I missed the boat there. I would have loved to have caught the boat with that song because it was a tearjerker to the max and it was a guaranteed hit.
It was completely original and Hirshhorn having the vision and then your first hookup with L.A. I could see how you were dreaming of bigger things because you were getting this killer post-production. And that carried through to the Mushroom album because you got the post-production in Los Angeles for all the Mushroom
album. We did all post-production.
Strings were done down there, the backup singers. Which brings us to the track that's Jimmy Fallon. I mean, we're shooting this film 3 years ago and we're like, oh, wow, we're so happy we shot the film and, you know, we're fresh after the shoot. We go home, turn on the TV, or just all of a sudden my email and everything lit up like crazy. And people are like, what? Your record's on Jimmy Fallon? Like, oh my God. Everybody was just shocked. And then within a week, it disappeared off YouTube. You could either watch it right then, and they have not had it on since. So we got to go after Jimmy Fallon and
somebody said we should phone him up and talk to him. Hey, what's happening?
Questlove's the key. Nardwuar knows Questlove, so we've got to use our connections like we've been doing with everything else to make this happen. You know, there's so many, in making a film, there's so many hurdles, but the thing of it is, Jason, is you, me, and Mike, were we ever afraid? Did we ever say we weren't going to do it?
Not
we were
going to
give up? We never gave up.
We always talked in the positive, never negative. That's the way we were. I mean, the trio, three musketeers, I call us. We work well together. We work so well. And that's
the way it is.
Well, I mean, I think that what it is that Mike and I were really of our word, you know. Like when we say we're going to do something and follow through, like we just couldn't dream of not doing that.
But, you know, I've met so many people in that negative end of it.
That have disappointed you.
I got a whole book.
Thank God we trusted each other, Jason.
Absolutely, but I trusted you from the get-go. After we did that thing at your that thing at your store, and we put it on film.
But what we first did is you came here to my show, to the old location up first, and you live so far into Surrey that the SkyTrain would only take you so far, so we had to give you some cab fare to get home from Surrey SkyTrain, because he lives near the U.S. border then, like it was unbelievably far. So for Jason to come to my show, it showed he believed in me, you know, he believed in, and then the story just started to develop over 3 years or more, actually. Like it developed over a long time, and I just kept learning more, finding out more.
And you were persistent in it, and I loved it, and I realized you believed in me. And same thing with Mike.
I mean, and I wasn't going to give up on you.
No, I could feel that. I knew that.
Yeah. Have you had people give up on you in your life too much sometimes?
Absolutely.
Yeah, hundreds, I know hundreds. That feeling.
I've had everybody from A to Z telling me what they're going to do for me. They're going to do a lot of this, a lot of that for me, and it never showed up, you know.
Yeah.
I was used to it after a while. After I finished Oil Can Harry's, I was very thick-skinned. There I had, but every night somebody was going to do something for me, you know. And people would come in from other places. They were working with the Cave and their managements for the Supremes and whatever, you know. Not Supremes so much, but I mean groups like that that were playing there. And they say they'd like to, you know, help me out and do this, you know, you deserve this and this. What's your number?
Nothing but disappointment.
Never hear from them again.
Yeah. No, but
and then bandmates and even family have disappointed you at times. You
know. Well, family, you know, they always disappoint. Everybody in my family would wish for more than me than just being a rock singer. They, what are you going to do when you're old and nobody cares anymore? You know, that was their fear. That they'd have to look after me. So far, I've been very fortunate.
Do you think they're going to be proud of you now?
I think they're burnt out now.
Wait till they see this film, Jason. This is going to be a game changer.
You know, there's an element to this that we're not considering here, and that is just flat out resentment. You know, there are times where there are folks who have talents, and then they run into other talents that they know are just light years ahead of them and outshine them, and people get pissed off because for every cat like you, there are other cats who may have gone to school, learned all the music theory that you can learn, and they get on stage. And I've done this from being on stage myself. They'll know everything, but they have zero charisma. They cannot translate their talents into something that would attract a lot of people and say, yes, I like this person.
You remember we went to see that Bobby Taylor Memorial?
Yep. That's
why I had a whole room full of those kind of people.
That's what I'm talking
about.
That was
incredible to see, Jason. Mm-hmm. Like, to see all the history of all these small-time black soul singers and people that Bobby Taylor believed in were coming up on stage and going, Bobby told me that I was good. Bobby told me I was okay. And I was like, wow, I never knew there was that many guys out there. Mm-hmm. I was like, we went into the room, and I swear there was 80% people were black in the entire room.
Oh, yeah, there was.
Yeah. Well, there was hardly any white people there and hardly any respect from the white community there.
No, absolutely none.
I mean, I don't mean to be down upon white community.
No, that's one thing. You can't take this personally because this is reality. Facts kill BS. And Vancouver choked the market. They literally stopped this thing from growing. They could have just as easily have promoted these guys, other kids would have came from everywhere. You know, you would have had an Estero who was out in the 90s established as a star worldwide because of her Canadian exposure. She had to go to the States. Other acts also had to go to the States. And it was simply because there's nowhere for them to perform. There's nowhere for their music to be appreciated.
Well, let's get in this song that was another glimpse of Jason coming very close to international fame, because you've got to think of how many people Jimmy Fallon went out to. So let's listen to the song that Jimmy Fallon played on American television not just 3 years ago.
Second lady, living in the city, yeah, yeah. Oh, shows your love to the second lady. The man on the street be pumping hell to the beat. Boom, 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 boom.
There's no escape from the drug of hate. No.
And that's it. That's our special movie edition of Jason Hooper.
Hear my heart beat chillin'. It's gonna do you lots of harm. Stick that needle in ya. Whoa, watch out! There's no escape from the drug ain't.
And that is it. Sometimes you got to do things manually. Anyway, we've had so much fun today. This is like a life moment today, eh, Jason?
It was something else.
Yeah.
It was definitely out of sight.
Yeah, it was one fun day. And that's just another taste of your Mushroom album, which is just full of amazing moments. But that one went out to how many million U.S. audience? I would say several million.
Jimmy yeah. Kimmel.
Yeah, we'll be calling up Jimmy Kimmel one of these days. Yeah, nice. You know, we're gonna make him give us some justice.
It'd be nice to do a show. Yeah.
But we're going to go out with We Are All People because, as you know, it's one of my favorites, and I think it's one of yours. And you co-wrote it.
I wrote it. So yeah. I think I wrote it. I was in a situation where I just let it flow, and I wrote the song in 45 minutes, and I was just letting it flow, and it happened.
And what's it about?
I was just letting everybody know that we're all the same. We're just people, and there's no difference except for the fact that we may think
we're black or white, but we're all the same.
Feel differently, but we're still all people.
Yeah. No, it's heavy because, you know, it's within a year of Marvin Gaye, What's Going On.
Yeah.
So it's Jason Hoover in Vancouver, British Columbia, goes socially conscious. And it's such a moment. But today was such a moment. Several moments.
There were a lot of moments, and there's going to be more. We've got two more days of this.
Shout out to Rocky. Lots of love to Rocky. Wade Compton.
I'm really happy that you introduced him to me. I think I'm going to be a surrogate father for the rest of my life now. You know,
he's such a sweet kid, and
yes,
it was just so beautiful having him coming in. And him,
he's got a lot of love in his heart.
Yeah.
He's
just one of the nicest guys that I know. I just love the guy to death. I had to hug
what
him.
What can I say? I met him today. I talked to him on the phone once before that. And he cried on the phone. You remember that?
I remember. I was there.
And he was so happy that he met somebody. He thought I was dead. He said, his mom was dead, and his son, I mean, his father's dead, and he thought everybody was dead. You know?
He was happy.
Yeah, he was happy. Yeah.
Sorry, that's as good as I can say. I'm no Harrison Houdet or Jason Hoover, sorry, or Michael Ingram, for that matter. Yeah, I've got all kinds of singers around me here. So I feel intimidated, but it's all good. Anyway, thank you so much to Harrison and Sydney and Mark and everybody for doing such a stellar job. Our sound tech man, tell me your name.
Saman.
Thank you, Saman.
Saman, the volunteer here at CITR, he went out of his way to make sure that we got proper sound hookup. So that was
amazing.
Good job. Yeah. So We Are All People, Jason. What a song. You know, what a song.
Thank you very
much,
man. I don't know. I wrote it in 45 minutes, and I was amazed myself. I really was. That everything I talked about all made sense and fell into a pocket, a groove.
Yeah. Was that the fastest song you ever wrote?
Okay. Rhythm is the way.
Even faster. Wow. Oh, man, you're a fast songwriter. All right. Well, take it out, my brother Mike.
All right. From Kamloops to Kent Solano. From Haney to Hastings, if you want to know where the soul trees grow, the roots of all of this and everything else can be found right here at African Rhythms.
I'm David Love Jones. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, CITR.ca. Coming up is Skulls Hall. Peace to you, and peace to the trials of Jason Hoover.
Which is soon to be a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
I love the Lord of the Rings.
Great. Yeah.
I'm into obscure 1950s atomic monster movies.
Okay. Sure.
I really enjoyed the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles.
We can work with that. Here at the UBC Sci-Fi and Fantasy Society, we accept everyone. We have weekly movies, game nights, and the largest non-academic library at UBC. Come by our club room, 3206D in the Nest. It's a great place to eat lunch, hang out,
and procrastinate.
Check out our Facebook group, UBC Sci-Fi and Fantasy Society, to find out what's going on.
East Vancouver. It's run by the Britannia Community Center and is available to rent for anyone. Some of its features include tall ceilings, wood floors, accessible bathrooms, a stage, and a PA. Astorino's is an accessible space and centrally located. It's ideal for any type of rehearsal, information session, dance classes, arts and craft sales, rummage sales, community events, and of course, shows and dancing.
Check out BritanniaCenter.org and the Facebook search Astorino's. Or contact Maddie Harris by email at maddiefromlife@gmail.com to learn more.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.